The Syrian province of Idlib has come under increased bombardment by Russian warplanes and Syrian government forces over the weekend. The area is the last stronghold of the Syrian rebel groups who captured the city in 2015. The inevitable assault has led to fears of another impending humanitarian crisis that threatens to spill over into Turkey and add further to the chaos of an already unstable region. Christian Manali reports.
Russian and Syrian forces are preparing to retake the northwestern area of Idlib. The area is the final rebel stronghold in the country and is home to an estimated 2.9 million people. The area has come under an intense aerial bombardment from Russian warplanes. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights claimed that the Russian planes in the Idlib and Hama provinces conducted 107 raids over the weekend. Associate lecturer at the Australian National University Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies, Murat Yubilic, explained that the rebels inside the region were not a part of the same group.
It is the only point that remained in the hands of this so-called Free Syrian Army, and afterwards a lot of different diverse groups, but most of them are radical Islamist groups from the start of the civil war. So it is now seven, eight years. The Syrian government, with the support of the Russian and the Iranian forces, they eliminated all the rebel groups in other parts of the Syrian territory, except this Idlib area. Of course, we are not talking about the Kurdish-controlled area here. What was expected here is from the start, the Syrian government forces to go on for a very, very heavy attack with support of the Russian forces and eliminate these rebel forces there.
The Syrian conflict has raged on for 7 years. There have been an estimated 500,000 people killed and nearly 6 million people fleeing from the war-torn country. Richard Bonofsky, a former Australian ambassador and diplomat, expressed his concern for another long and protracted battle which will result in massive casualties.
I fear, though, it will be probably fairly long drawn out. And yes, there will be civilian casualties, as there have been already. Of those, many of them will be children. But that's what's going to happen. I'm not sure what one can do. You can wring your hands. The United Nations can despair and have resolutions, but it's not going to stop the fighting, unfortunately. What would stop the fighting is if the weapons exporters stop sending arms to the antagonist, if there's a back down and embargo on ammunition and deadly weapons to the region. That would help a great deal.
Yesterday, the leaders of Turkey, Russia and Iran met in Tehran. Turkish President Erdogan attempted to organise a ceasefire in order to prevent any looming humanitarian crisis. Turkey already houses 3 million refugees, and the United Nations estimates that 800,000 people will be displaced from Idlib, placing further pressure on Syria's northern neighbour. Professor Yubilic said this pressure will be too much for Turkey to resist in continuing to close its borders.
A border wall, which is 780 kilometres. It is impossible to pass, but I don't believe Turkish government can resist so long if that huge amount of civilians end up in the borders. Either they will direct them to the Turkish-controlled area, wait for another solution, or they will open the border gates and they will create some zones for them inside Turkey. But without a solution in Syria, hopeless, if you ask.
Russia has called for the complete and final liquidation of terrorists in the region. A ceasefire was not agreed upon, meaning that the final assault might be imminent.
Ceasefire, including everybody, every party living in Idlib, was rejected by Russian President Putin on the basis of saying that in the negotiations there are no IS, there are no people representing al-Nusra, so how will you guarantee that they will obey? Basically implying that are you the guarantor of these Islamist extremists.
Mr. Bronofsky said that all sides in the complex conflict were not concerned with the humanitarian consequences of the assault. Turkey backs the National Liberation Front, which is the second biggest rebel group in the Idlib area behind the al-Qaeda-linked Hayat-Tahrir al-Sham.
It's a matter of expediency on part of the Turkish administration to side in this case with Russia. Turkey is hardly a democracy and there's hardly a democratic view involved here. I think that the Russians have their own agenda, of course, as well. They don't want to see Syria fall. They don't want to see the Assad regime fall, and they don't want to see further encroachment of American interests in the region. Every country playing in this complex war have their own self-interests, and it's very hard to say who are in the right or who are in the wrong.
Professor Yubilic said the next priority for the Assad government will be dealing with the Kurdish people in the east of Syria.
How will the problem between the Kurdish led forces and the Assad regime will be solved? If they can solve this problem at the negotiation table, let's say giving some autonomy or some kind of rights to the Kurdish forces with some sort of constitutional guarantees, such kind of process, then it will be easier. But I see, as of today, this thing is less likely.
Dr. Murat Yutbilish from the Australian National University, ending that report by Christian Minali.